This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Welcome to Blakey's Boot Room, the number one Cardiff City podcast, brought to you by Wales Online.
Hello, welcome to Blakey's Boot Room, the Cardiff City podcast by Wales Online, sponsored by Giovanni's Restaurants. I'm Ben James, and as ever, I'm joined by Nathan Blake, Paul Abandonato, and it's a boot room welcome for our new Cardiff City correspondent, Glenn Williams. So how are we doing, fellas?
Good, thank you. Thanks for the welcome.
I know you didn't get that, Ben, but...
I never got that.
Glenn's a Georgie boy, what am I going
to
do?
Exactly right.
I just better clap when I leave, to be
honest. Yeah, that's going to happen.
And obviously it's first boot room of the season. I know everyone's sort of been asking, where are we?
It's my fault.
You've been away in Spain.
I'll take responsibility for that.
Yeah, enjoying the rain.
Yeah, I've been enjoying the sun holiday, and it just overlapped the first two games, so wasn't able to get here. Do apologise to all our listeners, but
we're back now.
Man's got to take a break, you know what I mean? Media Wales working me too hard. It's Paul Abandonato, man. But yeah, great to be back and looking forward to the new season, I have to say.
Well, it started.
Yeah, there was those two games. I do apologise. Yeah,
so let's get straight into them. Suppose it's one good, one bad, isn't it, in terms of results? Obviously, defeat to Wigan and then a victory over Luton. But what have we made of it so far?
Yeah, we always say classically on the boot room, first 10 games. After 10 games, you kind of get a gauge for where you are. And let's be fair, two fairly straightforward opening fixtures, Reading included. That's going to be quite straightforward, but I think this year, the difference this year to the promotion season is expectation. I always say it. You weren't expected. They went through the whole season in the championship season with no expectation. Even towards the end, people were still expecting the Cardiff to fall off, and they never. Yes, there's pressure, but you know when your fancy does, okay, you've just come down from the Premier League. Now everyone's got... You know, there's a big target on your back. Everybody wants to beat you. And you're now expected to go and get promotion. It's a totally different animal. So it's going to be difficult.
What are your thoughts, Paul?
I suppose Blakey's right in that respect. It's a completely different pressure. I actually did fancy Cardiff to go up 2 years ago, but not many did. That element of, in inverted commas, surprise is gone. Cardiff, Fulham, Leeds are probably the big... West Brom are the big targets for every other club. The question is whether, you know, Cardiff have got the promotion maestro as a manager, haven't they? And I think that's the difference between them and Fulham, who've still got an unproven manager in Scott Parker. Bidic is clearly a very good manager with West Brom, but what's he really know about this level? Bielsa's had a season with Leeds. Again, that doesn't give him the knowledge that Warnock has at this level. The issue is going to be, Blakey was saying on the podcast many times last year that if Cardiff were to go down, they would need to evolve their style of play because the Championship has moved on significantly in the even in 1 year. With teams, a lot more teams playing football now, the new goal kick rule adding to that. From what I saw on Saturday, Cardiff are going to go even more route one than before. You know, they've filled their team with big men. The fact they've taken Bobby Reid out from the 10 position and put Callum Patterson in there says everything. Not that I'm criticising Patterson, but it shows the mindset. They've got a big 6 foot 6 inch centre half. They've got a big 6 foot new midfielder who stands at 6 foot two. They've got a centre forward who stands at 6 foot four. It's quite obvious the way they're going to go. And I guess the question is, will that style succeed against teams who, I know this was a bugbear of Blakey's, certainly in the Premier League, teams who dominate more possession of the ball, I suppose. And whereas in the Premier League, which is far more sophisticated, it couldn't work. Might it work against lesser opposition? It certainly did against Luton in the end. I guess the jury's out on that, but I'm with Blakey in as much as got to get 10 games of the season gone and see where things stand after that. But these are not tough games for Cardiff to start the season. Wigan, Luton and Reading are not the toughest opponents that they'll be facing in this division this season.
If someone asks you what you want, it wouldn't be far outside that, would it? Not for your first three games.
So can this Route 1 work in the modern day championship?
Listen, he's proved time and time again that he can do it.
But you say the fact that he's
gone, yeah, but I think the fact that he's gone, as you say, enhanced in the Route 1 approach probably says a lot. The fact that, you know, the championship is harder, you are going to have to put a lot more balls in, you are going to have more aerial power, you are going to have more set pieces in order to succeed, and maybe that's the route. Well, it looks like that's the route we've gone down. But for me, I still maintain, I'll always say this, you know, it's not a dig at anybody. I just like football. I want to be entertained, and I want to enjoy what I'm watching. And in certain styles of play, horses for courses. I understand you go Route 1 if there's a need to. I just don't think you start there. But, you know, the manager with 8 promotions says, that's where I start. That's where I'm a professional at. That's his call.
Yeah, I mean, obviously
it's not going to change now, is it? No, so it's kind of like,
in the final third, clearly, Murphy, who potentially could tear up this division. I mean, he started the game against Luton like a house on fire, and he was in effect playing against a team that's just come up from League 2 in successive seasons, from League 2 to League 1 to, you know, so there should be a big golfing class, and it looked as if there was to start the game. And Murphy can be a big, big player this season if he can just, you know, he needs to know that he's the main man, he'll get goals and so on. But you're not going to see split centre-halves from Cardiff City. Mm. You're not going to see tiki-taka through the midfield. The mantra has been put there right from the start.
You've never seen it since Neil's been here. So,
no, but people like Bobby Reid there, there was a feeling
that never going to happen. It was never going to happen. If you buy him in the Premier League and don't play him, you know, chances are he serviced the requirements for me. And I think that's the way. I think probably our best time in the Premier League, or Neil would say the best time in the Premier League, was when you did have Patterson up front playing that central role and blah 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 blah, you know, flicking things on, winning headers, and you know, that's his style of football. And it's not, you know, we're not here to criticise the style of football. We know what we're getting, and it's not going to change, so just accept it and move on. If you ask me, I like to watch more football, but you follow your team, you support your team, you support your manager. You can criticise performance, whatever, you can criticise manager selection, blah blah blah. That's where I hope Neil doesn't do what he done last year, and start trying to, you know, this game of all these media people and what have you. You are allowed to criticise, because when you praise and you heap praise on them, oh, they're quick to take that, you know, but they're not so quick to, you know, especially people who know what they're talking about. It's not like, you know, we just woke up yesterday and started talking about football. We actually do know what we're talking about. So you've got a right to be critical, and it's only critical analysis. It's not, you know, anything personal. So I look forward to the season. I wish we were in a situation where, you know, a bit more football was going to be played, but it's clearly not. So
yeah,
no point complaining about it.
And I think Cardiff will overpower a lot of teams at this level. Yeah. They will overpower the Lutons. They will overpower the Reddings, hopefully, this weekend, and teams like that. I actually also think, darker this sounds, when they come up against the Fulhams and the Leeds, and you might actually see Cardiff at their best in those games, because they might actually
thrive off not having the possession.
Well, they might actually have more possession than we would expect in those games, okay. And then throw in their power as well, and you know, it might actually get them going up that table. But in terms of, you know, the whole mantra this summer was that it was going to be a better team than the one that won promotion 2 years ago, and a lot of that was based around the fact that Josh Murphy and Bobby Reid were in that team because they were bought for the Premier League, and so it's a better side now. Bobby Reid is now gone from that team. That mindset changed a little bit, but you know, this pack is an impressive midfielder. Maybe he's the sort of midfielder Cardiff have been missing.
Yeah, I agree.
Also, there's been a fair few signings, haven't there? Is it six or seven? Glenn, you were in the press box.
Yeah, but a couple of those from Oxford United.
You say that, but Curtis Nelson obviously is one from Oxford. And
Curtis Nelson won't get in the Cardiff team, but go on.
You know, Neil thinks he should be playing Premier League. Yeah, I knew you like that. It's like Leandro Bacuna is the next Paul Pogba, the one. But you know, you saw some of these sign-ins on the weekend. What did you make of
Oxford? Yeah, no, I think what I would say, the obvious caveat to, yes, the style of football might be a bit more pragmatic, and yeah, they did launch a lot of long throw-ins into the box, a lot of crosses in and whatnot. They were exciting as well at times, especially in the start, as you alluded to. The front three, I thought, were really explosive. I thought Murphy, Gladstone, even White at times were exciting. They were willing to run at defenders as well. So I do think it's not all doom and gloom. I do think that they will play some football. Yes, they might play a bit more, like I said, pragmatic football at times, but there are players there that can excite as well, and I wouldn't write it off as just that this early on. In terms of new signings, I thought Aidan Flint was unbelievable. I thought he was really, really good, and by all accounts, he was good in the first game as well. Marlon Pack, really, really good, really strong. It looked like he'd been there for ages. He was commanding the midfield, Marshall in the back four. Really, really good signings. So those two in particular, I think, were standouts for me.
What did you make of the partnership between Flint and Sean Morrison? Because obviously it's very much a sort of partnership forged choice, but by the fact that Sol Bamba's injured.
This is
what I know. Wigan, Sean Morrison had a bit of a sort of nightmare because we talked about movement. This last year, didn't we? You know,
any movement of speed will kill those two.
I disagree with Glenn on this. You see, because I think that could be a problem for Cardiff this season.
Yeah, I do as well.
I think that last season, Manga's quite quick, and he was able to make up for it in surreptitious ways.
And then in the Championship, Sol would step out, wouldn't he?
Yeah,
and you could get away with that.
I'm not totally convinced by that blend, but what I would say is, we're back down in the Championship now. It's not the Premier League. You're not having Eden Hazard running at you and things like that. They won't lose many. I run at this because I conceded a goal from a damn header on the weekend, but they won't lose many headers in their own box, and they'll win a lot in the opposition box. And that is the way Warnock wants to play, Blakey. You know? You're grudgingly agreeing.
Yeah, listen. I look at it like this. I look at the situation Cardiff are in, and at the end of the day, I would love Cardiff to become a top 10, top 12 Premier League team. I think that is the goal of every club, where you're trying to get to the top and stay there, right? And I don't think, if you're looking long term, you're going to get there and stay there that way. Now, for me, okay, it's probably added another 2 or 3 years onto, if the club ever are able to achieve that, become a capital city, a quality Premier League team. You've just probably added 3 or 4 years onto the back of that. No big deal. Because, you know, when Neil retires, if he retires at the end of the season, if he leaves, then you've got, you know, 2 or 3 years it's going to take you to change that team into something else. Now, also what you've got to think of the transition from Neil. He said he's putting in a team that will transition into another manager's process and blah, 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 blah. I would say the ideal, and I know you don't like him, the ideal person to go in next would be someone like a Chris Hughton. Brings a level of professionalism, great defensive base, great knowledge of the game, lets you play a bit, and then you stick with someone like that for 2 or 3 years and then move on to the next transition of someone who's more offensive again. But I think what you've got to be careful of is going from one extreme to the other, which we experienced, you would say, between Malky Mackay and Solskjaer. We know what the end result was. So it's not just, I don't think of the team and the manager and the club about just a day. I think about, you know, a year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years. And your ultimate goal has to be to become a top Premier League club for me. And you know, if you look at the likes of Watford and Bournemouth, we've managed to do it and stay there and become what you call solid. Brighton, you've got to say, you know, it can be achieved, and you've got the owner with the funds to be able to do it also.
Well, in terms of going back to the Morrison Flint thing, fingers crossed, you know, with Peltier and Bennett there and with Smithy stroke Etheridge, there should be a solid, you know, a pack just in front, as Glenn said, sweeping up, protecting the defence. There should be a solid foundation from which to build there. Mm-hmm. I can't pretend, like Blake, I am perturbed by the lack of pace in the centre of that defence. They were torn apart at Wigan.
Do you expect Flint Morrison to be your first choice centre half partnership throughout the season, or when Bamba comes?
Well, that's a very interesting question, because Curtis Nelson should be playing in the Premier League, you say. Sol Bamba is Blakey's and mine kingpin.
Yeah.
Morrison is Warnock's captain and his kingpin, and he's just paid between 4 and 6 million, whichever figure you choose to believe, for Aidan Flint.
Wow. Yeah.
That, which is a lot of money.
Yeah.
Two million is a lot of money. So which one is it?
So
4 or 6.
So one presumes that Flint and Morrison are there as the first picks at the moment.
Mm. Listen, all this is okay while you're winning, if you're winning, right? If you go on a run of 4 or 5 games, I guarantee you, he will swim to get Sol Bamba if he's on the other side of the earth to put him back into that central role, right? So while you're winning, everything's kosher, right? Because no one's saying nothing.
Yeah.
When you're losing and you lose repeatedly, and then you go on a 4 or 5, 6 game run without winning, mate, that's when you know someone like Saul comes into his own. He's going to slot in like he's been there all season. He's going to marshal, he's going to organise, he's going to dig, he's going to get people wound up, he's going to get the shape right, he's going to make sure. Right, that's when. So at the moment, no problem. You lost 1-1. I think the first game, you can let that go, but I still say it's a disappointing result, because you expect to go and come out of Wigan with a point. It's the opening day of the season, we know that, but you go and get a point. The second game, score late on, typical of Cardiff, really, you would say it was a very typical performance and typical result. But let's hope we can just keep going like that, you know, but because none of us want to see the team lose. You know, but it is going to come. It does every season. It's what happens around that. Now, you ain't got the option of Manga. That's a disappointment for me. You ain't got the option of Reed. That's a disappointment for me.
Ain't got the option of Zahor. That's a disappointment for me.
Yeah. I'm surprised. I'm surprised he's still on the podcast. I was expecting you to say, no, I'm never going again. Get us gone. We're sacking it off.
The best prop, I guess.
Yeah. But, you know, it's look, it's like I say, early days. We are what we are, we've got what we've got. You support your team, you support the manager, like I said, and we just look at the game and we try and dissect it as we see fit, as we see best. We give advice where we think it can help, and we also critically analyse where we think it can help. That's the whole idea.
But I mean, if you think about it, they've actually now lost. I mean, Etheridge is out now for a while, having injured his hamstring. So Etheridge, Manga and Bamba, Gunnarsson and Arta, Reed and Zahor. That's the middle of the team that's been totally changed.
I think you need to take Zahor out because he's never played, did he? Right. I understand. I was joking, you mate. Yeah, I know what you mean. The central pin of the team.
Whereas he's actually gone for a much more
Physical.
Central pillar of the team now.
Which goes back.
To
I thought Pat was a great signing, to be honest.
Did you?
Yeah, I thought. I thought in any team, I just thought he was a really good player. I've always rated him as a very good central midfielder, and
it's good.
Someone who's got that size, he can pass it as well. Yeah. That's what I like. I honestly think Riles can learn a lot off him. You know, about marshalling. You know, Joe does a good job in tackling, aggressiveness, but as he showed in pre-season, one of his finishes, he got a lovely left foot on him. You know, you culture that left foot, start opening doors and unlocking doors with passes.
Yeah, because we started to see that towards the end of last year.
We did.
That Brighton game away. Passing forward rather than
passing forward. Sideways. Exactly. Because I honestly think he can do it. And I've always said, you know, people think, oh, you don't like it. It's nothing to do that. I'm just trying to give advice where, something my personal opinion, where I think it'll help him become a better player. And, you know, subsequently we've seen it, didn't we, Ben?
Become the player that Don Booth always knew he was.
Yes.
Yeah. What about Glatzel? Because obviously that is the sort of the summer's been waiting for a striker to come in, and then we saw him a week late because of his suspension in Germany, which was a fun surprise. But yeah, you saw him on the weekend.
Right? Yeah, it's strange. I think people didn't really know what to expect from him. I think people had rarely seen him. They probably saw the YouTube highlights of his hat trick against Bayern Munich, but that was probably about it. I didn't really know what to expect, but right from the start, he linked up well with Murphy. They weren't quite on the same wavelength, which you can forgive, I guess, for the first time playing together. But no, he was very strong. He was quick. He had an eye for a pass as well, which was good to see. But didn't really see him unleash too many shots on goal. So maybe as he gets more comfortable, a bit more confidence, maybe he might shoot a bit more. Hopefully, score a bit more. But I was actually impressed with him, even though he came off and obviously Vassell took the headlines. I thought he looked on first glimpse anyway like a shrewd signing to me.
He's a big lad, but the noises I've heard from him speaking to people in sort of Germany and stuff is he doesn't really do hold up play. He likes to sort of play more with the ball in front of him, which is interesting maybe for sort of what Cardiff.
Kind of like Kenneth.
Kenneth's strength, we said, we saw it the last two games of the season. That's where Ken sort of had that little he, off the he bench against Palace the top. Then against United.
Yeah, I like Glenn, I didn't have a first clue what to expect. 6'4", you expect some sort of lumbering giant, but he reminded me a bit of Zahor actually. He's quick, he runs behind defences. Didn't look really like scoring goals on this occasion, but clearly he's got a proven record. Whereas Vassell came on and straight away just looked like a goal scorer to me. You know, that could be a good little sign in there. But, you know, Glatzel holds the key to everything for me. You know, if Cardiff have finally got a 20 goal a season centre forward, he can inspire the rest of the team. So, they've already got the foundation, Blakey. You mentioned Pack, you know. They seem to have a decent midfielder. We know that Murphy and Mendes can be really effective at this level. So the key there is what he does for me.
Oilert also.
Oilert is there as well.
He did when we came on as well.
So Glatzel really is the key to the season, I feel. And one game is too early to judge him. I think there's enough promise and signs. I just think he's got to get in more close competitions.
I look at us and think it'll be our away performances that will cause the problems.
For other teams, you know,
for us as a promotion pushing team.
Right.
I think it's going away from home, where you've got the opposition, have got the crowd, or have the expectation, and they push and push. It's sort of like what happened with Wigan. I think that is Cardiff's stumbling block. It's making sure you go away from home, because, like in the Championship last time, for the first month or two months, they're a bit of a surprise package. Well, now there's no surprises going away from home, at home. So I think their teams are going to be much more prepared. And if you look at someone like Big Aiden Flint, he's played in the Championship a lot, so people know how to play him. You know, you as a player, you get to know how to play against a defender. You know, I wouldn't be saying to my midfielder, right, you know, put it up, I'm going to back him and challenge him in the air. I wouldn't be saying that. I'd be saying, like, give it into my feet, I'm going to spin him, or put it down the side, I'm going to run him, or I'm going to pull off him and go into no man's land. So he's a bit like, where is he, left or right? So there's ways of playing different And I just don't think, like, Aiden's not going to be a secret. I think he's brilliant in the opposition box. I think Morrison's brilliant in the opposition box. But clearly defending your box is where I think the issue will come. So if they can keep that back door locked more often than not, or keep the goal tally conceded right down, that'll give us a great chance. But I think if I was to predict us finishing, I'd like us to finish in the top six. But I'd be very happy if we do. If we finish in the top eight, I think, yeah, that's probably more where I put us at the moment.
There we go. Should we look ahead to Reading? Got a game coming up this weekend. That's a Sunday game, isn't it, I think?
Yeah.
Got a nice little trip to Majeski, I think, yourself there, Glenn.
Certainly have.
So what are we expecting from that one?
Well, I think, like Blakey said, I think they need to be concentrating away from home, minimising goals against. I think that's how any team sets up, especially a Warnock side when they go away from home. And I know they conceded three in the first game, but on Saturday's evidence, hopefully another week of melding together and forging a few more partnerships in that back four, and with Pack another week ingrained into the Cardiff way, hopefully there'll be another solid performance again, and Cardiff can unleash the wingers, and hopefully Glatzel gets his first goal, that sort of thing. Everything just needs to get up and running, I think. And I think if you get a result away from home, you get your first goal away from home, I think that really sort of starts you on a run then. So hopefully this will start a train of results as we go on away from home. Reading will be a difficult one, always is.
It will be. It's kind of like a derby.
Yeah.
It's kind of like an M4 derby. It's Bristol, Swindon, and there's another team somewhere on the M4. I can't remember them now. It's like
a, it's,
got, no, it's an M4 that you're speaking about. Listen, I just think it's going to be it's the kind of game you go in. We're expecting Cardiff to go there and win. Yeah, but I hope they do. I don't care if it's 1-0, 2-1. I'm not bothered about like goals for and all that at this point. You just want to see them go and beat teams like Reading, you know, use that power, use that speed. But I think the one trick we missed last year, which was evident until the Man United game, was we can play on the counter-attack, but I don't think we take advantage of that enough. I mean, probably. I think we play a lot of long ball back the front, but I think when you're up against opposition who keep the ball, did anyone see the Man United game, Chelsea? That's counter-attack. That's counter-attack, right? That is set up. We've planned, right, sit deep, low block, let them keep it, pop it about, snatch a pass, and then your three people who got, like, you know, fire in their boots, they just go. Now, we've got a front three, possibly four or five players who can play up front, across the front, who are all very, very quick. So what I'd like to see us do this year, which what we didn't do last year, was really set up for, right, when we know we're under the cosh a bit and the team is keeping the ball, because there's going to be plenty of that, right? Don't play the, you have an attack, we have an attack, you have an attack, we have, play, sit deep, sit, play in front of us, play in front of us, play in front of us, play. As soon as you go, try and go through the middle of us, we intercept, and then we break, and we know he's gone. I think if they can master that this season,
yeah,
that would be an extra string to their bow. And then I would say, well, we should be a top six team quite comfortably.
So yeah. They did that really, obviously they did it really well in the promotion season, weren't they?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
For criticism that Warnock teams get, he likes to play decent football. It's just playing it in the right areas, which is what he did with the counter-attack, wasn't he? Mm. You get back to front really quick, and then when you're suddenly in them pockets of space around the sort of penalty box, then you can play a bit of football and sort of get a little bit intricate.
Mid to final third.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I think, you know, I was at the Majeski, was it Boxing Day, covering the other team.
Mm.
And that's the sort of tactic, you know. I think they lost 4-1 that day, Reading, but they still got forward a lot.
Well, it's not something.
And they still, you know, they committed numbers and they like to pass and move.
Yeah, I think so. A lot of people think it's like pressing. I watched like games, not professional games, some professional games, but you watch games like Sunday League and stuff like that, Welsh League, and you hear managers shouting, press, press, press. And it's not something that you do, and just it's something you have to work on. There are triggers involved. It's a plan. We're sucking you in because we're going to go bosh with this. It's what I'm going to hit you with. And I think last year we didn't have that. It didn't look like it's something that we'd practiced and set, right, this is what we do. Against this team, we're very good, keep the ball, blah, 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 blah. Ain't got a lot of pacing behind you, but remember, but when we're going to concede possession to this point, and then the trigger is you, you, and you, and as soon as those three go, right, you have to go in behind him, you have to nick the ball, and then you, you, and you, no matter where, you just fly, you make sure you're flying down the right, you make sure you're flying down the left, so I can play a blind pass if I want to, but I know you're going to be there. I think they can really work on that this season. And yeah, I think we can be there, thereabouts. Listen, we're not going to be out of it, I don't think, at any point. Can't see us having like a mid-table season. I just don't see that at all. Just think we'd be too strong. But, you know, that top six, you know, there are going to be, there's always a surprise, we say. There's always a surprise. And there are some good teams. I think one might let Fulham down. You know, it's not a dig at Scott Parker. I just think his lack of experience showed a bit last season. And I think someone like Neil will just jump all over him for experience and knowledge and where to take advantage. So, fingers crossed.
There we go. So, we'll have a quick break and then we'll be back for some Ask Blakey. We're back for some Ask Blakey, and we have got an absolute shed load of questions to get through, so let's crack on with it.
Good.
First one is from David Pierce.
Hi, David.
He'll appreciate that pronunciation. Out of all the players we sold or let go, who do you think we will miss the most?
Manga.
Nice and simple. Why?
I think he proved last season, playing out of position, what a good player he was. And when he played in position, I got the feeling if he'd been there all season, we probably would have stayed up.
There we go. Reza Davis, after the summer window, does Blakey think the squad...
Hi, Reza.
Oh, sorry, I didn't let you say hi. after summer window, does Blakey think the squad is stronger or weaker than the year we went up?
Than the year we went up? I think it'd be hard to say it's weaker. It's definitely stronger. Yeah. But the league in itself is probably stronger as well. So, you know, we'll see.
This one's from David Huntley.
David.
Again. Can we get an on-field bodyguard for Vassell? I don't really know that.
What's that supposed to
mean? No idea what that means.
I thought that might be something that you know. You were the game on Saturday. I thought he might have got out-muscled for a few headers or something like that. Or is it just...
Unless they just want to protect him, do they, so he doesn't get injured?
Oh, okay. Maybe because he scored the winner and he's like...
Wrap him in cotton wool.
Yeah, wrap him up. I'm not sure what you mean. I tell you what, send that question, elaborate a bit more on that question.
He could be a Luton fan. You know, seeing a former Luton player score the winner against you.
could be.
This one's from Jordan Nigel Reed.
Hi, Jordan Nigel Reed. How are you doing?
How are we going to cope at left back and right back as the season intensifies? Obviously, Jazz is always unfit. Cameron Cox, something of an unknown.
Jazz, I'm afraid, has never worked, has it?
No.
It's never worked. And there comes a time where you've got to say to a player, you probably need a fresh start. I'm surprised he didn't go this summer, to be honest with you. Peltier, he's going to smash people. He's going to defend well. He's not going to go forward, but with the front line you got, with the pace, all you need to do is pelt his support. I've always said Bennett could be far more expansive going forward, but he is what he is. He gets forward, he crosses a great ball on the run, but he's also a very good defender. So you look at that solid five with Pack in front, six, you think you've got really a good basis of a defence there with an exciting attack. It's just how they transition and whether or not they can keep enough ball to win games.
It's probably more the lack of cover, isn't it? Because obviously Cunningham's gone now, so you basically are on Joe Bennett, Peltier, and then you sort of, maybe it's a Cameron Cox, Leandro Bacuna can play right back.
Yeah,
that's probably, you know, if you're playing Saturday, Tuesday, we can.
And we got the young lad made his debut last season, season before, what's his name? Sorry, Cox, is it?
Yeah, Cameron.
So I'd like to see him in. I would really like to see him in, but yeah, we'll be fine.
We'll get through it.
It's probably one of the, plus what's his name, can play right back, can he, as well?
Got Callum Patterson.
Absolutely.
forget that he was signed as a right back.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, Louis Rax, who takes that number 10 role after Reed? Or do we simply have a flat three in midfield?
I would go with a holding midfielder with a two, and then the front three. Yeah, that's what I would go with. I think that suits us best. So probably
gives Mendes and stuff like that more.
Well, the idea of the idea of Patson going into ten roles was to win headers and blah 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 blah. If you've got a 6'4" striker, that defeating the object, innit? What you want to do is get the ball wide to your speed demons, get the ball in the box for the 6'4" man to be finishing headers, and then you've got two midfielders who can join in edge of the box, one make the run into the box. You know, goals should be plentiful this season. Honestly, it should be plentiful with that size and power of that team, you know, because whether you like it or not, if someone's taller than you and can jump higher than you, it's not a lot you can do when the ball's in the box. Do you know what I mean? You can muscle into him or whatever, but he's going to beat you 9 times out of 10. So play to our strengths. I think we score a lot of goals, and by the sounds of things, I didn't see the Luton game, but I think we had 17 attempts on goal, something like that, 8 on target, something like that. So, you know, you are getting in those sort of regions where you are going to put teams under, you know, immense pressure in goal scoring opportunities.
There we go. You're smiling at me like you've got an answer for that. I thought you might have an answer then, or are you just agreeing?
No, I'm just thinking about the wingers flying down and the wing and crossing the ball to Glatzel, which is what Blakey was saying.
He's excited, isn't he?
No, the man to free them up is Lee Tomlin. He's the one to get them flying down the wing and get the ball into Glatzel. Well, Tomlin's not going to play, it'll be Patterson.
True, that is true. Next question comes from Libby Toogood. I'm not sure if that's like a real name or whether she said boasting.
I hope you spell too good. T-double-O.
Yeah, as in too good.
Okay, Libby,
you're too good. She probably hear that a million times. Mm-hmm. Probably don't go, yeah, okay, Nath, just get on with it.
Yeah, she's never heard it from Nathan Blake. That's the
difference. Does Blakey think, as it's Warnock's last season with Cardiff, he should get freedom or a key to the city after success with the club? And do you think the club have started searching for his replacement yet?
No one, no.
Move on.
There we go. what else have we got? God, so many questions.
Sorry, Lib. I didn't mean to be short, but we got so many, I'm aware. I'm just going to give one word if I can.
Okay, this is from Manchester Bluebird on...
Oh, is this Dom?
Twitter.
Manchester Bluebird.
Dominic Booth.
Okay, go on, man.
Do you think Bogle has proved he's good enough over the last 2 years, and will he go on loan?
I actually was surprised he didn't get an opportunity after pre-season here.
Yeah, he looked good.
Mm. I thought he was probably... Okay, I'll stick my neck out. I think he'd probably score more goals than... How do you pronounce Glatzel's name?
Glatzel.
Just the way he did, mate.
I think he'll produce... I think he would, if he had the opportunity, I think he would score more goals in this league than Glatzel. But... we'll see. It's going to take Glatzel time to adjust to this league.
Bogle's an interesting case, though, Ben. I remember sitting with Blakey at Ashton Gate.
Yeah. He was brilliant.
He was brilliant, and then he did this reckless challenge.
Got sent off
on pack, funnily enough.
Yeah, it was on pack. Yeah.
And got sent off. And I remember afterwards, Warnock was pretty incandescent with rage.
Yeah.
And Bogle barely played.
He offered.
It's a bit sad because that happens in games. That's what I always say.
But he offered no defence of the player at all.
Yeah.
So you know, because Cardiff were coming back into that game and then they lost it because Bogle got sent off.
Mm.
But he did well in pre-season. He came on at Wigan and scored.
Mm.
But I don't know what it is. There's something about Bogle that I like. You know, he's quick, he's powerful, he gets in behind defenders, and he clearly scores goals.
Yeah, I didn't think, especially pre-season, I thought he was playing his way into the number 9 shirt. He's good size, he's quick, he understands the league, he's been out on a long couple of years, he's got his experience there. I thought he's ripe for, you know, a championship season. But hey,
he picked Gary Medina ahead of him, who's the opposite of everything you've just said there.
I think Gary's suffering with confidence when he pulls on a Cardiff shirt. I don't think the fans love him, that's obvious, because he's not scored for the club. So there comes a time when, as a player, that confidence, you're not looking forward to going out and playing, and the fans are not looking forward to you running out in a starting shirt. So, you know, if you go to Wigan, you're 3-0 up, Bogle scored 2, and you bring him on, he nicks 1, you know, great. I think his Cardiff career start then, but I think chucking him in and, you know, saying lead the line. Yes, people say, "Oh, Nath, we paid 6 million for him, though." But you know, that's not his fault. At the end of the day, I feel for him. I'm not a, you know, I never shred players, but I feel for him because, you know, I've seen players in that position. I mean, I've been there once myself. But it worked out for me. But I've been there myself, where you think, this place isn't for me. This team, this whole, it's not worked out. But you can't deny his talent. He is a talented player.
Yep. Okay. Next question is from Little Pick and Shovel. What do you think Isaac Vassell's role will be as the season progresses? Get that. Strike partner with Glatzel, a number 10, or simply just...
Say that again, sorry. What was the question?
You're too busy talking about me. Right, so yeah, what do you think Isaac Vassell's role will be as the season progresses? Strike partner with Glatzel, number 10, or just backup?
Honestly, I can't answer that question, and I wouldn't really give an opinion on it, because it'll swing in roundabouts, Ben. It'll be... Sometimes you want to go 2 up top, maybe those are the 2. Like Paul said, you could go with one of those and, you know, Tomlin behind. I honestly don't know, because it was such a, it came out of the blue a bit. I wasn't expecting Vassell to come here, and when he did, I thought, good player. Had a bit of injury nightmare, but you know, fingers crossed it'll work out for him.
I think that he will be backup, Ben, but I think we'll see a lot of cameos where he comes on and scores goals and looks effective. It wasn't just the goal, he actually just looked very effective for the few minutes he was on the pitch.
Well, Glatzel has to score goals, doesn't he?
And so
that's what you know as a striker.
Yeah, I think he might cause Warnock a problem, a nice problem, by keep coming on and scoring goals and making a real impact, and it may force the hand a little bit, but he can't play up top in terms of the style doesn't overly suit him, does it, Blakey? As much as it does a 6'4" centre forward.
He's a good size. He's not like, you know, 4 foot or anything like that. I mean, he's got decent frame. He's good frame as well. You know, I think he's going to play with his back to goal. But you know, I would say if he comes on, if you go into 6-7 games and he's come on and scored 3 or 4 goals,
yeah,
it gets to the point where you've got to sit Glatzel down and say, right, he's now the number 9. That's just, you know, as a striker, if you expect to be in for 10 games, not score and keep your position, hey, game's changed. That's all I would say, because I wouldn't expect to be playing for 10 games and not scoring, no matter how many assists I'm giving you. If I'm giving you 20 assists in those 10 games, different. But I wouldn't expect to be in the striker position for 10 games, not score and keep my shirt, whilst the other kid's coming on and getting goals.
Yeah,
that's just, you know. And Neil's ruthless like that. He'll know, like, at the end of the day, this game's about winning. So
I've just been looking at Little Pick and Shovel's Twitter bio, and it says disciple of Isaac for sale, so I'm pretty sure he'll be open. He starts. This one's from Joshua Watson.
Hi, Joshua.
What's your reaction to drawing Luton Town in the Carabao Cup?
It is one of them, right?
It's
this
not,
early.
Yeah, it's not quite Newport versus West Ham.
Newport got West Ham, yeah. Speaking of Flinney earlier. But it is what it is. The idea is win two or three games and you do get a plum draw. Simple as that.
Yeah, and this will be the final question. It's from Chris, just simply Chris.
Hi, Christopher.
And we talked about a little bit about style earlier. Is this the most Warnock-style team we have seen?
Yeah. Like we said, it's like, you know, Warnock team on steroids, isn't it? It's like gone, it's gone really root one.
So, there we go.
Yeah, but I haven't, in fairness, I've only seen highlights. So I'm going to follow the judgment of my professional peer here, Paul.
It's Warnock plus, right? And it may well be effective. It will overpower a lot of teams.
Well, it has to.
And then, with that power, Cardiff have got better players in the forward areas than an awful lot of teams in this division. You know,
yeah.
Murphy, and, you know, Mendes has come on a bomb because of what he did in the Premier League, you know, and...
My thing is always, if you ain't got the ball, you can't score. Right? Doesn't matter how root one, how big, you could have a team of all 9 foot. If I got the ball and you haven't, you cannot score. That's, do you know what I mean? That's the starting point. Whether the goal goes in the opposite goal because someone puts it there, whether that's your striker, your midfielder, whatever, or OG. If I got the ball and you haven't, then...
Well, Luton had 63% possession to Cardiff. What that makes it, what, 37?
Yeah, but as you said, they've just come up from League 2, League 1, bang into the Championship. Take them time to adjust. I think if you remember Brentford, that happened to them a lot in their first season, and now they're a team that people go, very good footballing team in the Championship. So, you know, yeah. Two games, it's like hard to judge at the moment, I would say. I think you'll get there around about end of September, early October, we'll start to get a real feel for where we're going to be this year.
There we go, and that's a perfect place to leave it.
Predictions.
Oh, predictions, of course. Yeah, oh, mate, I see. Out of match fitness here.
Match practice, you mean, Benjamin.
Not fitness. I mean, yeah. I mean fitness. So, yeah, predictions. Reading away on Sunday. What are we thinking? No, nobody rush all at once.
You want me to answer first?
Glenn's a newcomer. Glenn should answer.
Yeah. I think 1-0 Cardiff.
Lovely. After that hospital pass, what's your thoughts?
I think 2-0 Cardiff. They'll overpower them.
There we go.
I would say 1-1.
Oof. Okay. If I don't do a prediction, you'll have a go at me. So I'll say 2-1 Cardiff.
Okay.
Because I still think Reddick. I think if it's Morrison and Flint, they can get something out of that. So there we go. That's the first Blakey's Bootroom done for the season. I think it went all right, didn't it?
Yeah, it was nice to be back with a newcomer as well.
Thanks for having me.
Well, you'll be on it every week from now on, mate.
Yeah, you're the specialist.
So there you go. For all the latest Cardiff City news, you can catch it all on Wales Online.